Welcome to my podcast from Vagabond Chronicles. Hello, world. So, this is Paulo Coelho Chooses My Adventures Part 2. Now, if you look at where I'm set up, I did record this the exact same time I did Part 1, because in my life, this is a story. But in podcast world, it's a whole lot easier to record a 30-minute podcast than it is an hour podcast, because I had a hard time uploading that last episode. So, that is why I've split it up into two episodes, because I'm not a technical master at podcasts yet. So, you should watch part one first, and if you haven't, I have a bottle of wine here, and a San Pellegrino Arnesita right here. And why? Well, because I was recording for about 12 hours today, and I wanted something because my back hurts from carrying all the stuff that I was carrying. So that is why I have wine, and it's delicious. I was just looking at this wine, though, and it claims it's a Bordeaux, which that is the region in France it's from. Bordeaux is on the left coast of France. It says Merlot Cabernet Sauvignon. I think they're just putting all of the labels of grapes on there. I think they missed a couple. I have no idea what it is. But I know that makes with my Arnesita. It's delicious. So, let's get into it. Last week, I told you about a story of how I let Paulo Coelho. Actually, last time. I don't know my frequency of posting these yet. I told you a story of letting Paulo Coelho choose my destinations for travel. He is a very influential, inspirational person in my life, which is weird because I've never met him. But, super cool guy. His writing has inspired me. There's another trip that I'll do thanks to Paulo Coelho at some point in my life. I hope. Anyway, the book and the trip we're going to talk about is called Hippie. So if you have not read Hippie, I highly recommend it. I would say it's one of Paulo Coelho's more personal stories that I've read. Hippie takes place in Europe, and the main character is named Paulo. And it actually recounts some of Paulo's adventures, turning them a little bit more into a story, because travel sometimes is not very great to tell. It's kind of dirty and gross. But it tells a story of this guy, and he bought a one-way ticket to Europe. And he was like, hey, I'm going to Europe, and I'm just going to see what's there. Didn't have a lot of money. Broke up with his girlfriend at some point in time, or his wife, or something. And he found someone else. I think he found another woman or another group of people. And they found this bus to go from Amsterdam, I think, into India. Maybe I should have read up on this stuff before, but I didn't, because I want to tell you the story, how the story is in my brain, so then you'll realize, like, okay, so that makes sense on why she went to these places. Anyway, so he buys this tourist bus ticket, and the bus, you know, it would go in different places, and sometimes they would stop for lunch in a place, sometimes they would stop at dinner for a place, or overnight at a hostel. And when you're on a bus like this, you have a lot of people that are the same, you have a lot of people that come, that go, and it's kind of, you know, it is what it is. It's hard to describe if you've never been in that situation before. If you haven't, read the book, and how he describes it in the book is so realistic to a perfect experience on a bus. It's not always perfect, but if it were perfect, that's how he describes it. So in every place, he falls in love with something. Sometimes it's a scenery, sometimes it's a woman, sometimes it's something else, and his mind is opening up. But in his head, he has everything set, I believe, on landing in the Taj Mahal, or landing at the Taj Mahal and seeing the Taj Mahal. And they're driving down, and they, you know, go through the Carpathian Mountains, they go through Romania, And they finally go over into Turkey, into Istanbul. And in Istanbul, something happens to Paulo, the main character. And he talks about the dervish dancers and them swirling and being so magical and so happy. And he gets lost, just like walking around the different parts of the cities, taking in the atmosphere and the energy of the markets and everything else around. And they were stopping in Istanbul for a couple of days. So he had a bunch of time to explore the place. He met up with the love of his life near the bridge that connects the Asian continent to the North American continent. Whoa. The Asian continent to the European continent. And it's just beautiful, beautiful writing. The way he crafts his words and his stories and his messages is just, it's something that you have to read yourself. So, wine time. So, he's in Istanbul, and the tour bus is about to take off. And the woman that he kind of had a crush on in the tour bus for the whole trip is on that tour bus. And she's like, "We're ready, let's go." And he's just like, "No, I found something here that I need to explore." So he stays in Istanbul, and the love of his life goes away into India or wherever the final destination was. And he stays there in Istanbul and, does whatever he decides to do. And then I forget how the book ends. But in my head, the book ended whenever he fell in love with a city that was so rich in energy. Now, I'm not one who likes cities. There's cities that I don't like to go to. There's cities that even for work I prefer and I drag my feet to go to. Like some cities you can't pay me enough to go visit them because I just don't like the energy. I don't like that city and my life is too short. I want to like every day I live and not none of the days I live. Anyway, I sound grumpy. Anyway, I decided to go to Istanbul. And I was like, you know what? I need to see where Apollo Coelho is sending me. Let's go to Istanbul. Now, I did a bunch of research on it. And originally, I was going to go to Istanbul for a week. And I had a whole adventure planned out for a week on where I would stay and what I would do and yada yada. But then the more I looked into it and the more I actually realized what Istanbul was as a city, I'm like, do I want to do this for a week? And the answer was probably yes. I come alive in the forest and in wilderness and in the middle of nowhere. And cities are just, they're intense and they're full of energy and sometimes too much for me. But anyway, Istanbul. So I was in Istanbul for 2 days. And I just decided to stay at the airport hotel because I was, I had a 2 day layover. It was easier for me to stay at the airport hotel. The hotel was there. I could always get water and food and everything. And the trains, trains always connect to the airport super easy. If I got in a taxi, I could just say airport. They know where I'm going. I don't have to deal with any stupid hotel names. Traffic in Istanbul is disastrous. So if you, we'll get into the travel tips of Istanbul in a bit, but traffic is disastrous. It could take between 30 minutes to 3 hours to get from the airport into Istanbul city center if traffic is bad. So we go into Istanbul and I decided to take a taxi in there. And I was like, please take me to the Blue Mosque. And the driver's like, okay. So we're driving and we're driving and he charges me 900 Turkish lira, which hindsight way too much. But once in a lifetime trip, I was gonna go there for a week, and I was there on Apollo Coelho recommended travel advisory. Woo! So we can't actually get to the Blue Mosque. He took a wrong turn and traffic was too bad, and I'm just like, hey, drop me off here on the corner, it's fine. And he's like, oh, okay, sorry. And I'm just like, dude, you got me here. I can walk a kilometer. So I walk a kilometer up to the Blue Mosque. and I'm loving it. Like, I've never seen something like this before, you guys. It was so pretty on, like, the outside of how it's formed. It's from, you know, many, many, many hundreds of years ago, back in the Ottoman Empire. And I had never been inside a mosque before. I'm thinking, making sure I don't lie. Pretty sure I'd never been inside a mosque before, even though I had wanted to go inside one. So we get into, I'm at the, I'm saying we, it was me. I'm there alone with my camera. You can watch the video on the YouTube. I'll paste the video in the link so you can see everything about the video that I decided to keep that I didn't edit out. I edited out a lot of Istanbul, and I'll tell you why. So I'm there standing at the gates to go into the mosque. Now, there was two lines to get into the mosque. One was if you didn't have clothes to cover you up. One was if you were dressed modestly. And I was dressed modestly. Like, I knew I was going into the mosque. So I made sure that my arms were covered, my legs were covered. It's how I travel when I travel. I also, you know, covered my hair that day because my hair was dirty anyway. I knew I was going into the mosque and I just wanted to be respectful. So obviously you can tell I'm still a Westerner, but a very respectful Westerner. So I was lining myself up for the right gate and I was just waiting for some people to pass so I could take a picture without people in it. I don't really like people on my videos because they photobomb the video. And sometimes people don't want to be recorded. So I try to be respectful and just wait till they're gone. Well, this one guy comes up to me and he's like, where are you from? I can get you into the mosque. And I'm just like, no, thank you. No, thank you. See, I knew this type of approaching already from when I was in Jordan. The hustle, just coming up and being ballsy and assuming I speak English. Oh, where are you from? I'm just like, no, thank you. I'm like, can you move? I'm trying to record. And so sorry. So he moves over and I'm, you know, recording. And, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Canada. And he's like, we're in Canada. Are you from Toronto? And I'm like, yes, I'm from Toronto. I would have said yes to anything he said. Like, just go away. I have cousins in Toronto. And I'm like, anyone who's hustling me for anything has cousins anywhere in the world. I could say I'm from Shanghai, and they would say they have cousins in Shanghai. Like, scam trick 101. So I already know that he's just a baddie. Now, this guy was different. So this guy was taller, very well-groomed, very nicely dressed. He was also probably in his late 40s. And you could tell that he had money. Like, he had a nice smell. He had nice jewelry. He had nice, just like a nice style about him. And I'm just like, can you leave me alone? There's so many other tourists you can bother. Like, why me? I'm just like a singleton and I'm already giving you the finger. So go away. And he's like, no, I can skip you in the line and get you in the short line. And I'm like, I can get myself in that short line. I'm already dressed for it. And he's like, no, I'll get you in. So he goes up to the security guard. And the Blue Mosque had security guards at all of the entrances. And they just wanted to look in backpacks to see what you had in the backpack. And like, if you had any suitcases or larger items, you would just leave it at the security guard place. Security guard looks at the guy next to me, he hands him money. And I'm just like, there's no need for this. Going into the Blue Mosque is entirely free. There was three people in front of me. Like, he wasn't paying to skip me ahead. So the security guard, the thing that he didn't do, he allowed me to take in my backpack and he let me in without looking at my backpack. So I go in, and before you go into the Blue Mosque, you have to take off your shoes. So the guy, he needs a name so I can just refer to him by something. Let's call him Don. Don the con man. Don the con. So Don is standing on my left and I'm taking the shoes off on the right. And he's like, okay, I'm going to wait for you at the exit and just take your time. I'll be waiting for you there, and then after that, I'll take you on a walk, and I'll show you more stuff and history, and you can put it in your vlog and all of that stuff. One time. And so I'm like, sure. Sounds like a great idea. Not. Well, I'm hoping Don the Con is just gonna forget me and go find someone else to con. So I take off my shoes and I put them in the little shoe place. I take off my shoes and put them on my backpack since I didn't have to leave my backpack there. And I spent so much time in the mosque. Now, the carpet is this plush red carpet. And you walk on it and it's just like your feet get this nice massage. Everyone in there is quiet. There's a place where if you are Muslim, you can go pray. So in Islam, how it happens is the women pray in the back of the mosque and the men pray in the front. So towards the front, you would see all the men going and praying. And then towards the back by where you would put your shoes, that's where all of the women would be praying. I don't know why they have it segregated like that, although I'd like to learn. So if you know or have a good resource or a good video or something to watch on why it's like this, comment, please, because I want to learn. Anyway, I taken a lot of videos. I'm in there for a while. And after a while, I'm like, okay, well, I should probably go explore the rest of Istanbul because I'm here and Paulo Coelho sent me. So I'm going out and I'm excited. I'm like, Don the Con has got to be gone. Don the Con is standing right there. Hello, welcome back. And I'm just like, damn it, you were supposed to be gone, Don the Con. So Don the Con tells me to rapidly put on my shoes and he's going to tell me more about the mosque. And I'm like, no, I really want to just walk around the gardens and explore more. Well, Don the Con tells me that we need to go see his shop. He's like, you look like an artist. You do YouTube. You do video. You can come and see my art. And I'm just like, okay, Don the Con, let's go see your art. I won't buy any. Like, I have nothing. My backpack is all of the things that I have. I can't fit anything else in it. Oh, that's fine. We do shipping. We can ship to your house. We can ship to your parents' house. And I'm just like, Don the Con, can you shut up? So we're walking down and walking down. I'm assuming he has like one of those little busker tents just kind of outside the grounds of the Blue Mosque. We walked for like a kilometer and I'm like, Don the Con, I want to go see Istanbul. Paulo Coelho sent me here and I'm on a limited time budget and you're taking me in the wrong direction that I want to go. Well, Don the Con tells me it's 5 more minutes. Like, damn it, Don the Con, and he's trying to explain what he does and making silk rugs and how it's hand-woven and pretty and beautiful and it will look great in my house and blah, blah, blah. So we get to Don the Con shop. It's like every single other tourist shop that I've seen in my life. Crappy tourist stuff out front, magnets that you can buy on eBay, magnets that you can buy on Amazon. Nothing in there is genuine. But in the corner of this shop, there is a young man, probably mid-20s, sitting in front of this silk loom, air quotes loom, and pretending to do something on the loom. In Jordan, I saw a lot of this stuff around the tourist areas, and in fact, nothing happens on these looms. They're just there for tourists to think that it's actually genuine there. And a lot of the manufacturing is done on bigger machines. It's not done by hand. That said, there is some stuff that is still done by hand, but it's insanely ridiculously expensive and you usually don't find it in these high tourist areas. You find it more in like the artisan market where you have people spending tens of thousands of dollars to buy, you know, some handmade thing that takes years to make. So I see this guy and he moves his loom out from where he was sitting at into this corner. And then I walk in the door and then he moves it to block me from the escape exit. So what we have here is an entryway. We have random dude blocking me. We have me. And then we have another Don the Con is now trying to make me go up these stairs. If you wanted to see that hand-by-hand layout, audio viewers, I just did that in the YouTube, so you can't see it. But Imagine in that order. So in Don the Con's shop, there were these stairs going upstairs, and he claimed it was a silk rug place, thingy-majigger. Now, I heard of this scam before, and I actually never believed it was real. What happens in these sort of scams is that they try to get you to go up stairs, and sometimes they try to get you to purchase something or claim you damaged something and then charge you an absorbent amount of money before they let you leave. That's why you had someone blocking the entryway. I was not going to leave without paying anything. The other part of these scams is that this is where they do human trafficking. They block you in, they take you up, and there's a certain amount of price that you have to give them in money in order for you to leave. Now, you see me. I'm not a young woman anymore. I'm not one of the people that you would normally think about human trafficking. What I am, though, I am an older woman who can drive confidence with younger women, and I'm Western. So, and I travel solo. So the idea of Don LeCon to bring me up was likely to be his Ghislaine Maxwell, if you will. What a dick. So, Don LeCon is grabbing my arm, trying to pull me to come up the stairs. Come see the silks! I'm like, dude, I told you no. I want to go see Istanbul, not the silks. No, you must come see the silks. You'll love it. Your house will look so pretty. And I'm like, listen, I will pay you money if that's what you want. I do not want to see your silks. I do not want to be involved with you or with whatever this is. Let me go see Istanbul. And I said it to him in a much louder and more annoyed voice than I just told you on the internet. And he looked frightened at me. And after that, I pushed back his loom-weaving boy guard, who was just a light, very, very slight lad. Opened the door. Went on a very brisk walk back to the Blue Mosque where I wanted to be. And then I finally got to take more photos of the Blue Mosque and just walk around and enjoy the gardens. So, yeah, that's how I escaped the human trafficking person in Istanbul. Now, as I was walking around, I stayed around there for a while because I just really liked it. Don LeCon was back in the same place again, looking for solo traveling young women. He didn't approach the older ones. He didn't approach the ones who were Muslim. He didn't approach the ones who were from East Asia. He was approaching Western young single tourists. So Don LeCon's a dick. I really hope that at some point in his life he gets caught, because very not cool he was doing. I am glad, though, that I did read up on a lot of the stuff that happened there, so I knew what to do, and I'm very thankful that I got out of that. Recovering from that, though, it was a little bit hard. After that, I just wanted to go back to my hotel room and just take a shower and sleep. Like, I just did not feel good. But I'm like, I'm on a Paulo Coelho mission! I have to go explore! So I'm going and exploring in the city. And I ended up, I don't know, seeing a bunch of stuff, ended up in the Grand Bazaar. So we're fast forwarding to Grand Bazaar. Grand Bazaar was the most intense thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, I've seen a bunch of YouTubers go through the Grand Bazaar and, you know, they glamify it and they show what it is and they're like, so blah, blah, blah. The Grand Bazaar is the most organized thing I've ever seen for an outdoor indoor market. You have different sections of stuff. So there's one section where all of the jewelry vendors are. There's one section for all the dried fruit. One section for all of the fast fashion. So something that you could find at Primark or at H&M or at Old Navy, if you're in North America. All of that is in one place. There's one section for all of the high fashion brands. So something with like Louis Vuitton or Versace or something. Not knockoff, but like made in Turkey, just without the label. So it's the same good, just no label on it. Sometimes labels were on it. And then there's a section for all of the knockoff stuff, all of the counterfeit things. Amazingly well organized. I love the Grand Bazaar, minus the fact that it was so packed with people. Like in Istanbul, this is where you go to buy whatever you need. On top of that, you have all of the tourists going in there just to see what it is. So it's a little bit intense of just annoyed locals. I'm like, can you get out of our shop? And tourists, you know, exploring it and loving it and just, you know, living their best life. So that was really intense. I continued to walk around and explore and try to find more places that Paulo Coelho talked about, you know, went to the bridge that he talked about. And then, wine time. Actually, 1 second. I need chapstick, and chapstick's over here. Okay, I'm back. So I end up in this place, and then I was getting tired and hungry, and I'm like, you know what? It's probably time for me to go back to my hotel room. And I was near the train that took me directly into the hotel. I was like, I think 4 kilometers away. So I just decided to walk to the train station. So I'm walking to the train station, and I go down to the train level, and it was like a brand new train station. It was beautiful. And I get down there, and how trains work in Istanbul, or how I found trains work in Istanbul, I don't know if this is how they actually work. You have a train pass, and you buy a number of rides, and every distance you take is a certain number of rides. So instead of it being like $1 to go in zone 1 or $2 to go in zone 2, it's like 1 ride to go in zone 1, 2 rides to go into zone 2. Something like that. I didn't realize that until after. So I bought a 3-punch pass, and I already had used 2 of my rides that day. And I was like, perfect. I have 1 ride left. Just get me to the airport, and I'll be fine. And I'm going to the gate, put my ticket in. I'm like, what's wrong? I have 1 ride on here. And there were these 2 people in the corner, and they were just laughing at me. They worked for the transit company, and they were speaking Arabic. So I pull up my Google Translate on my phone, and I see what they're saying. And I'm just like, why are people so mean? Like, I understand now why Paulo, in this book, Hippie, stayed there. There's so much energy there, and it's so addictive. But these people were not giving off very positive energy. So I go up to them and I, you know, typed in Google, can you help? My card won't let me in. And they're like, yeah, you don't have enough rights. And I'm like, I have 1. And this is all me typing on and reading it to Google. And they're like, no, you're stupid. Go buy more rights. And I'm just like, okay, that wasn't necessary. So I go to the ride machine and it needed cash. So I'm like, damn it, I don't have any cash because the taxi out here cost me 900 units of cash, and I used all my cash on that. So I go look for an ATM, find an ATM, get some cash, and it gives me cash in like 200 lira bills. I'm like, yes, I have cash. So I got like 1,000 liras, and I'm back at the train ticket booth, and I'm like, oh, let's do this. On the train machine, it says 150, 20, 10. Train machine did not take 200 lira bills. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to get home? So I go up to the 2 people who think I'm an idiot, and I'm like, help. And they're just like, they wouldn't break it for me. Even on my phone, I'm like, if you turn this 200 into 2 100 bills, I'll pay you 200. Like, just I need smaller cash. And they were not going to help at all. So I get out of there. And luckily, because it is a stop going to the airport, there was a bunch of taxis around there. Now, I'd read on the internet about taxis in Istanbul. And one thing about that I read is that you have to barter with them. They will always tell you the price way too expensive. And I learned that when I went to the Blue Mosque. And I'm like, I don't want to pay 900 lira again for another taxi ride. That should have cost about 300. Get into a taxi. And the guy is like, 1,500 lira. I'm like, no, I'm like 400. No, traffic. Traffic is hard. I'm like, there's no traffic. Google says there's no traffic. Google doesn't know Turkey. Google doesn't know Istanbul. And I'm like, okay, now you sound like my Jordan tour driver who said Google didn't know where Case was and we ended up in Syria. And so I'm bartering with him. He's like, 1,000. And I'm like, And I'm like, 450, you know, and we're bartering on just typing in our phones because I didn't know enough Turkish or enough Arabic, and he didn't know enough English to barter, so we were just, you know, using our own languages. So finally, we get to the price of 750. Yeah, I think that's what we got to. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. This is the first bartering experience I've had in my life. After escaping someone who was trying to sex traffic me, after doing the Grand Bazaar, after being laughed at and mocked at by two officials who should be helping people travel and not laughing at them. So I'm like, whatever, just get me the hell out of here. So we're going in the car, and he's talking to someone on the phone. You know, I have Google Translate on reading, and I don't know, they're talking about some wedding or something, and then he starts yelling at him and or yelling at the person on the phone. They got in some argument. And then we're driving, and it's about a 20, 30-minute drive. So we're about 10 minutes in, and we're already on the highway. And he was claiming it was going to be 3 hours to drive there. I knew it was going to be about 20 or 30 minutes. And he reaches back with a pack of cigarettes, and he's like, "Want to smoke?" I'm like, "No." What is this? First, you're mad at me because I wanted to get a cheaper ride, and then you're mad at your person, and now we're smoking together. Like, this country is amazing. I get it, Paulo Coelho. I get it. So, I'm like, no, thank you, but go for it. You know, please, please smoke. I had the experience in Jordan already where my driver didn't smoke. So, he lights up a cigarette. He's like, "I'll smoke yours too. It's good for my health." And I'm just laughing. So we get to the airport, and I realize that I actually didn't have enough Turkish lira to pay him, which I felt like an idiot because I thought I got enough from the ATM, but I didn't. And I mean, I did, and I found it later, but I put it in a part of my wallet that I lost. I still have that Turkish lira to this day. Anyway, so I'm counting on my phone. I'm like, damn it, I only have 600 Turkish lira, but I had euros. And I'm like, okay, I'll give him 600 Turkish lira and a 20 euro note. So we pull up to the airport, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a challenge. Now, 600 Turkish lira plus 20 euros is way more than like 750 lira. And at first, he's really mad at me. He's like, "No, we said 750. You must pay 750." And I'm like, "Do the math." I'm like, "Google, Google." He doesn't trust me for some reason. So he Googles it and he's like, "No way! Yes!" And he's just so excited and greedy with what I was gonna pay him. What I ended up paying him, I think it was around 900. But for me, you know, I didn't have any more lira, and I'm just like, I need out of here. I need to go and take a shower and just process what happened today. So I get out of the car and he just thanks me, and he's like, "Cigarette, cigarette, yes, cigarette with me. Thank you so much." I'm like, okay, fine, let's have a cigarette together. So then I go back into the airport, and I'm going back into my hotel. I'll get to the hotel in a second, and I run straight directly into the shower and turn on the water, and it's cold, ice cold. Of all of the things after I'd been out that day, I'm just like, why is the shower cold? See, on the reviews, half of the reviews said the showers didn't work and that they were ice cold, and the other half said the showers worked and were awesome. I guess I got the half that the showers were ice cold. So I took a very quick ice cold shower, and then I went back into the airport and got some food for the evening and just went back up to my room. But, you know, moral of the story, Paulo Coelho, 100% right. Istanbul is a city of energy. It's a city of allure, of attraction, of the most beautiful, peaceful religion that I found, of the most beautiful, peaceful people. Walking around alone as a very Western person with colored hair, I felt safe. The outlier to that, obviously, is the dude who's trying to sex traffic me into becoming his own Ghislaine Maxwell. But that's just the bad guy. That's not Istanbul. The people in the Grand Bazaar were so helpful. You know, I just wanted to look around at stuff and shop around. And I told them that. The ones that understood English understood that I'm here. I don't have room in my suitcase. I just want to experience Istanbul. I want to experience the Grand Bazaar. There was places that were selling Turkish delight, and they would just give you so many samples. Oh, you don't have to buy any. Just take samples. I'm like, no, I actually can't buy any. I don't have any room. That said, Turkish delight, if you've ever had it, awesome. I hope you loved it. And if you haven't had it, you must have it. It's way better than the Chronicles of Narnia ever says it is. So that's my part two of the story on how Paulo Coelho picked my travel destination. Pretty sure he did a little bit better in Morocco, but both Morocco and Istanbul were equally adventurous. I would not have done either any other way. Like, what I learned about myself in those times, what I learned about people, what I learned about humanity, it's the most surreal and rich experience that, like, I could ever ask for in my life. So, moral of the story, if you're planning on going to Istanbul, be prepared for intensity. Dress modestly. If you want to go into any of the mosques, you need to make sure that your elbows are covered if you're a man or a woman, and that your knees are covered if you're a man or a woman. If you're a woman, your hair also needs to be covered. If you don't have any of this, at the Blue Mosque, they do rent you burlap sacks that you can put over yourself, like literally burlap sacks, and make yourself modest. So whether if you're a man or whether if you're a woman, you just wear the same type of thing, and then you can go into the Blue Mosque and be respectful of the religion. The other thing that I would say is be respectful of the religion. There are some people there who do not want their photographs taken. And in my video, I hope I was respectful. Like, I tried to be very respectful of those who did not want their photographs taken. There's some belief with the camera, and it takes part of your soul out. It steals part of your beauty. So be respectful. The other thing that I would say is I feel like that my staying at the hotel was a very solid decision. Now, I'll caveat it. I don't go out a lot when I go traveling. I'm usually recording for about 12 to 15 hours a day. I'm walking, you know, 20 to 30 kilometers. After that, the most I feel like doing is going out and having like half a glass of wine. I mean, you can see how much I've drinking in this bottle in the last 2 hours. Tiny little bit of wine. Having something bubbly and going straight to bed. That said, if you like going out, maybe city center is for you. I liked the airport hotel quite a lot because airport hotels, two things about them. One, they're usually very quiet because people are there on a layover and people are there for one reason, sleep. Not party, not conference, just sleep. So they're usually very quiet and very comfortable. The other reason I like airport hotels is that it's usually easy to get from the airport to the city center. And in Istanbul, you can get the correct train pass to do this. Don't buy the 3-punch train pass. Buy way more punches than you think you'll need so you can actually get from place to place. It's a very affordable option if you do this. And the other thing I'd say about Istanbul, if you decide to go, is bring cash. So out of all of the places I've been, I felt like Istanbul, I needed the most actual currency to travel around in. A lot of the bigger shops took card, but if you want to go buy something from the Grand Bazaar or just like something from the street person or even a taxi, way easier to negotiate in cash than it is in credit card. And while the taxis don't tell you they have a credit card machine, they do. And because you don't speak Turkish or Arabic, they are not going to bring it out for you. So don't count on that. Istanbul is intense. It's not like any other city I visited before, and you have to be open to what is there. In Hippie, that is what Paulo Coelho was writing about. How you have to be open and accept it for what it is. And it's such a parallel to life and to humans and to how we should treat ourselves and that sort of stuff. I won't get into that. You can go read the book yourself and dive into that yourself. But Istanbul, great place to go to. Amazing airport. If you need to do a layover, if you're traveling like long haul in Europe or long haul down into Africa or into Asia, it's a great airport to stay in. Great hotels, great restaurants, great lounges. Make sure you bring a lot of money because it is kind of expensive in the airport, but very, very well done. Yeah, so that is my part two of letting Paulo Coelho pick my travel destination. Now, we're not done with this series, but I wanted to post part one and part two kind of next to each other because I remember the story next to each other, and in my head, they connect. So now you're in my head. Yeah, I think we're way over time today. We are. Anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you haven't, ranking and scoring the podcast would be great. And liking and commenting would also be great. I'm trying to grow this Vagabond Chronicles channel. So, yeah. One day maybe I'll do this full time. Thanks to you. Next time, I'll be back with a more amazing story. I have like three in my agenda and I can't figure out which one I should post. That said, that can change. So leave me a comment on something that you want me to post about or talk about, and I will go and make a little podcast about whatever you want me to talk about. Bye.